I was appointed chief of police here September the 1st, 1947. And at that time, I was the fifth officer that was hired as chief of police. And when I came here at that time, the city manager, who was Mr. Barney, and I think some of you perhaps interviewed Mr. Barney, who had been the city manager here for over 30 years. So he was acting chief of police 3 years prior before I came. I started out my police career in Florence, Oregon. And then I left the law enforcement and went into the United States Navy, Seabees, and went into the South Pacific. And then when I came back out of the service, I went to the city of Newport and was a policeman there. And then I left Newport and then came to the city of Hillsborough in Nigeria when I came here. Actually, I came in July, and at that time they were looking for a chief of police, you know, for somebody to come in and take the job. So I came here in July, and then I was appointed in September. So as today, I'm the oldest chief in the state of Oregon of being in one city the longest. There's no other chief of police, and I've had that. And I don't know what to say, a distinction for that many years. So I've watched Hillsborough grow. At that time, Hillsborough was less than 4,000 when I came here. And now, many of you know what the population is, Hillsborough is now. So we busted Bill. Okay, now I'm open for questions. All right.
How did you get started in the business?
How did I get started in the business?
Yeah, like
in law enforcement? The way I got started, my original occupation, I was a logger. I worked in the woods. And down at Florence, Oregon, the population of that city at that time was just about 500. And so I worked as a logger in the woods for Crown Zutterback. And they had a one-man police department there, and the way I got started is that I worked on weekends of helping him, you know, because we had a lot of problems on weekends. Florence is a fisherman. There's a port, just like Newport, and loggers, and that's just about what they consisted of. So they had a lot of problems on weekends, and that's the reason I helped as a second officer. And then finally the chief, he quit to go fishing, on it, tuna fishing. And then I inherited his job on it. So all I had to do there as a policeman, you didn't have to be on full time. All you had to do was be on call. Because we had a state policeman, we had a county deputy from Lane County, and then myself. So actually there was three of us there, and we all worked together. So if I wasn't available, one of them was available. So I worked in the woods in the daytime and worked as a policeman at night and then on weekends. And that's the way I got started. Okay. When did the police force start here in Hillsborough? I'm not sure, because this is one of the, I think if you study, have you done any studying of Hillsborough? On it? This is one of the oldest cities on it. And, matter of fact, the plaque of City of Portland is registered here in Washington County. And I'm not sure. I'd have to go back. The person that you could interview on that would be Ed Bowman, who was a city recorder here for years and years and years.
He would give you...
Pardon?
Another group
interview. So he would be able to give you that.
Could
you send the date of that when you started? When I started to hear in
Hillsboro? Yeah, it was September something.
September the 1st.
What year?
1947. How many years is that? Going on my 28th year. Question? I didn't hear you.
Who makes the clothes?
Who makes the clothes?
Uniform.
Well, we purchased our uniforms at Noodleman's. Noodleman Brothers in Portland. We purchased our uniforms there. When I first started in law enforcement, as a policeman, you had to buy all of your own uniforms. You furnished your own car on it. You furnished all your own equipment. And when I came to Hillsboro here, they just had one car, used car, purchased used car. And when I came, I had to put my own car, put my own radio in it, and the lights on it, the emergency lights. As a matter of fact, some of the officers used my car. When the other car broke down, then they used my own personal car. So it was for a good many years that we purchased our own car. And then we had to go to school. We had to go to school on our own time. For instance, we'd have to work a shift. And then we'd go to school. And we had regional schools instead of police academies like we have now. We had regional schools. Like, for instance, they'd hold a school at Salem or Oregon City or McMinnville. And they would sometimes be classed as a basic school, you know, just the basic fundamentals of police. And then they would have advanced schools, you know, where you'd advance in the police techniques, you know, and so we'd work our shift, go to school, and then we'd have to come back and work our shift. And at that time, we worked actually 6 days a week, and we had one day off, maybe. Well, police work has changed. I can say police work has changed the difference between day and night. I mean, that's how much difference there is in law enforcement from the time I started until today. Yes?
Were there any people in business when it started?
In law enforcement? Oh, yes. For a good many years. Yes. They used to be, I think they started out with one, and they gradually worked up to city growth, two officers, three officers, and so on and so forth. Like when I came out, I was the fifth officer hired. Before that, they had four officers. So as the city grew, well, then you increase. I think this is what this used to be, a civil defense during World War II, where they had block wardens and on civil defense where they had to see that the lights were out and so forth. During the first part of World War II, and I think this is what this is.
About how old is it?
Well, it would be, I would say that would be around 1941, 1942, that they had the block wardens, you know. That, I believe that's what it is. The policeman before me was Mr. Freeman, Chief Freeman. And how many years he was chief of police here, I'm not sure. Chief of police one time.
Before
he became fire chief, because he was chief of police in 1915, 1918.
Yeah. So there's a space in there.
But I was born just 60 miles from here. I was born in Mist, Oregon. And I used to drive through Hillsboro here. I used to drive up through timber and come on around. I used to drive, and this is one place we used to stop, and it came from the valley over there. It came into us through here. Actually, I was never did drive down downtown in Hillsboro until just a few months before I was appointed chief of police, before I became a police officer. But I drove through the highway there, but I lived over in the valley. Yeah.
What was
Chief Freeman?
Did you have a lot of equipment besides the cars?
No, we had just the one car. When I first came here, we didn't have any radio equipment. We had two lights. We had a red light on this corner over here, on this telephone pole, right out here, and one down at the other corner, down where the Ford garage is. And the calls would come in and to the operator, and the telephone company used to be right next door here, where Fordham and Fordham. And that's where the telephone office was. So somebody would call in for a police officer. The operator would throw a switch on the wall, just like the light switch. And then these lights would come on. And then when we'd see this light on out here, well, then we'd call the operator and she'd tell us, you know, where somebody wanted the police officer. And then, you know, sometimes if we perhaps would just leave here, and then perhaps drive up to Sheep Park and maybe stop or get something, and then you'd never know how long that light was on until you came back and called, you know, and then they'd tell you where somebody wanted you or some emergency or something, and then you'd answer and go out that way. On it. Yes.
How long would it take
if you were Well, at that time, Hillsboro wasn't very big. You see now, the city limits run up 12th Avenue, up that end east, and down to Dennis Street down here, and then that's Grant Street up here, at this end up here, and then down at this part down here was Maple Street. So Hillsboro is just a lot smaller than what it is now.
Did your jurisdiction go outside of the city?
Although at that time, the sheriff was Sheriff Connell on it. And at that time, I had a deputy sheriff's commission where we could go out of town. And we did. We were the first ones to get radio equipment in the county here. We were the first one to get the radio equipment. And then the sheriff's department, they came on our equipment. They got a remote unit and they came on. And then we start working together. And for instance, now when I first came here, an officer, we didn't have anybody in the police department. The officer would have to go out, you know, on the street. And then if he would need it, well, they would they'd call him back into the office. So after I was here, one of the first things I did was put a man in the office. And I made a man a sergeant, and that was George McPherson. I think somebody mentioned the name. And they had no record system here, none whatsoever. Matter of fact, they had here in the office, which is over in the other building, and he had one room about this size, and they had a desk, you know, one of these roll-up desks, you know, where it rolls up, a lot of pigeonholes in it. And they had little notes and things like that, and that was the record system. So the first thing I had to do was build a record system, you know. And I put this man into the office. He came to me and says, "Chief, there's a record system that I'd like to make. I'd like to, for the department." And I said, "Well, fine." And he showed me what he wanted to do. And he started working on the record system. Now, he had been on the department for a number of years. So he gathered up all the information that he could find, you know, back, and then start making a record system, which we have today, the same record system we have today. Because people come in, like the FBI, and comes in and tells, okay?
What was the worst lobby that you guys had?
Worst lobby?
Oh, there's many of them here. We've had many robberies. I mean, over the year, I just don't know, I can't say any one in particular, but we've had so many robberies.
Did they get the most money
from
the biggest
robbery? No, I don't know. I just remember we've had so many, we've had a large amount of robberies.
How many men was there when you were here? About how many men were in the police force?
When I came, there were four. And I was the fifth one hired.
How many do you have now?
Let's see, we have 26 with two court clerks, since it's 28.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any
people in the police that started out with? Well, I imagine they started out with just one, you know, when they originally started. And I think at that time, they were classed as marshals instead of, you know, chiefs. They were classed as city marshals. Robbery? Well, it's rather difficult to say because we were always having, not robberies, we never had too many robberies because when you're robbed, is whether you're held up, you know. But we had a lot of burglaries, but not too many robberies. And the last few years is where we're getting to where we've had our robberies, you know, now where people are actually using a firearm, going and holding somebody up on it. But that's just started in the last few years. We never had too many robberies back there.
What kind of crimes did you have in your district? How has it changed since you came on the police?
Oh yes, we have right now I think one of our most serious crimes that we have now is vicious vandalism, where people just destroy. The next to come after that is theft, you know, where people are constantly stealing on it. But we have problems with people of your age, you know, involved is shoplifting. The first contact that we have with me, we have a lot of shoplifting. And which we didn't have so much back at that time, because when I went into law enforcement, your name, you know, meant a lot. In other words, the community For instance, somebody would hear about so-and-so boy or girl doing this or that. The name meant something, you know. And nowadays, it just doesn't seem to be that way. A lot of them got an attitude now when they steal. You know, it's no crime to steal, but just don't get caught. But eventually you do get caught. As you know, nowadays, which we never had here, I would say even 5 years ago, there's a lot of narcotics, you know, for, as far as young people are concerned, when you get up in junior high and senior high or older. Now that's created a real problem for us in law enforcement. There's more permissiveness now than there ever has been, you know. And relaxation, and more latitude, and so on and so forth. So I used to be able to get a boy or a girl, and when they committed the first offense, I could say, well, let the folks handle it. And usually the parents did. You know, you just turned it over to them and tell them what happened, and that was it. You know, you didn't have to go any further because the parents took care of it. And they used to tell me, well, I'll take care of this matter, and they would. And you never had more problems. But nowadays, it just isn't that way. You've got to, we have started a new program right now to where the first offender, I have an officer who is a community relation officer. And if he has no other offense, first offense, well, then he handles it and talks to the parents to see what they can work out rather than cite him into juvenile court. In other words, we want to keep them from having a criminal record if we possibly can, and this way they don't. And we handle it right within the department.
Jeff, how many burglaries are there?
Well, it varies as far as I'm concerned. I think last night now, we've had two of them last night. One of them was way over $1,000 worth of equipment that they stole out of one place on it. And the other place, they went into it, and the fellow, actually, he used to be the undersheriff up here. He was asleep, and this burglar came into the house. And he woke up on it. And this burglar threw an object at him and hit him in the face, and then he escaped. But he left his jacket there with his name in it, so we know who he is. So we'll issue a warrant for him and we'll pick him up. But he's been our suspect for a long time, and we know that he's been the one that finally he slipped, and we'll get him now.
Have you heard the robbery on Southeast 11th Place?
Southeast 11th Place?
565.
Pardon? Yeah, I think I read the report on that.
Not long
ago. Yeah. You have to, if you didn't want to work that night, could you hire somebody to work that night for you?
No, you mean today?
You mean
my job? Or for regular placement? Well, we usually make arrangements that we have regular police officers, and we can't hire anybody outside who is not a regular police officer. You see, now an officer has to be certified. Anyway, when I hire an officer now, and I would put him out in 1 year, I've got to have him in academy, and he has to be certified by the Board of Police Standards, and they have to have this certification in order to continue in law enforcement. So if somebody gets sick or something, we usually move another officer off of another ship and bring him up to cover in on that. And the man I introduced you to, the captain here, he takes care of all of that. If somebody calls in sick, then he has to more or less shuffle around and then get another officer from another ship to come up and cover. We do have a reserve on it, but the only place we use them is perhaps on the radio here. And we have just recently now started a cadet program for young boys from 14 up to 18 who are coming in and learning to operate the radio and answer the telephone and ride with the officer and walk downtown and look for doors and windows open and things like that. Plus they go out with a regular officer and go out and do vacation home checks and things like that. So this is a new program that which is working with the community relations officer that we just started here just recently.
Do you have a question?
If you're out of law enforcement for a while, in 3 months, after 3 months' time, after you're out of law enforcement, then you lose your certification. In other words, then if I could hire him back again, he would have to go back to the academy, not to go completely through the academy, but he'd have to go back at least for 2 weeks in order to get his certification back. He still would have to start off, and he'd have 1 year. You know, he's got to have that full year on before they give him the certification, but he'd have to go back because the laws keep changing. You know, now our legislature is in session now. Now they'll bring out a lot of new laws this time. So in order to keep up, he's got to go back and go back to school. Yeah. Well, we just have a switch for you. If you look at a police car, and I'll show it to you after you get through if you want to look at them, we have kind of a console there on the car, and they just have buttons that just flip up on it. Now, you see on those cars, we have the blue lights. Now, the only ones that can have blue lights on the cars is police vehicles, a red or a blue light. Not even a fire truck can have a blue light on it. A blue light is a police vehicle. You know that when you see a blue light on it. The reason they went into blue is because people that are colorblind, a red light is white to them. Just like here, it looks like that to them. So a blue light, they can always tell what a blue light looks like, so they can identify. So we're the only police vehicles, and this, and Sheriff Barnes is the one that really pushed this law through to where we have the blue light. And then we have lights now that you see on the side, where you see them shining off the side of the car. These are regular airplane landing lights. So when the officer at night, when they're traveling around in the alley or something, they just flip this switch on over on this side, and then it just floods the whole area on it. And you can see much better than where we used to just have a spotlight, you know. We've done away with them and put these type of lights on in the car. Yes, we got to get through.
The siren on a police car, is it real or is it a recording?
Well, we have what we call electronic siren now. On it, and it has a yapper on it, and then it has kind of a sound like a siren. It people will hear that quicker than they will a regular siren. You know, if you got your windows rolled up and the radio playing, it's real difficult to hear that. But when you got this yapper and this siren where it goes up and down, you know, and then it yaps, you know, they call it a yapper. That's electronic siren. And we're going mostly to electronic siren. Then we do have a speaker. When an officer gets out of the car, majority of the cars are equipped to where they get out of the car, they just turn the speaker on. And then if they're needed, somebody in the office trying to get a hold of them, well, they can hear it when they're out of the car, you know, where they got somebody stopped. And then if they want to talk to the whole, like a crowd or something, well, they can talk to the speaker. You can do more that way, you know, for controlling the crowd in any other way by you getting out of your car and trying to talk to them. You had a question. Well, sometimes they don't do that. They just turn on the lights and tap the horn. But a lot of people are scared of a siren. In other words, especially elderly people, you know, they get frightened. And sometimes it may cause an accident. So if an officer can stop them, you know, just turn on these lights. And just get their attention, you know, and then honk their, just touch their horn. Especially at night, real late at night, you know, when you're out, you wake everybody up, you know. Even some people even complain to me at night because the officer's got these lights going. Well, the only reason the officer's got these lights is for his protection. You know, that another car has come down the street, that they know that this officer is out, he's out of the car standing, you know, alongside the street there. And so that's one reason they don't blow that siren, especially for the elderly, because they could cause an accident. And that's, we don't want to do that.
Is there a city jail?
Pardon?
Is there a city jail?
Yes, we have a city jail back here, and I'll take it back and show it to you. We don't use it. We only use it just as a holding cell because on account of the state law now that if I use a city jail here on it, I have to have a full staff to operate that jail. In other words, they've got to go back, they've got to check on them every hour, they've got to have uniform coveralls, change clothes, they've got to be fed 3 times a day. There's so many restrictions involved that really we can't afford to have a jail. All we do is just bring them down and just hold them there, well, maybe 20 minutes at the most while they're waiting to go to court. Then they take them and take them back to the county jail because the county jail has staff, have people up there to take care of these people. So it's much cheaper for us to put them in the county jail than it is for us to keep them here. Now, I didn't want a jail when we moved. They bought this new building here, but the city manager at that time felt that they should have a jail here on it. That's the only time we use it. We don't keep people there over 20 minutes at the most, then we take them back to the county jail.
Did you use it?
When you had it over in the other building before we moved over here.